This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2. The week's best bits. Laura and Duncan's Hope Breakfast Podcast.
Breakfast is ready.
Morning, Laura Bennett.
Morning, Duncan Robinson. Hello, everybody.
I don't know what was going on there. I kind of went amelodic and then didn't.
Morning, Laura Bennett.
It's a new way to introduce the show.
I can't remember what we're doing.
That's called Monday. Welcome back to Australia, Duncan.
Yes.
Thank you, Sydney, for your support of Miracles Day. So last week when you were listening to the show, we were in the Philippines. Do you remember that?
Yes, we were. It was an incredible trip. I just had one of those moments when your brain stopped working.
I have a new health bandwagon for us to all jump aboard on for our Hope Brekkie health kicks, okay?
Now, we've done some health kicks before. We did the juice fast, which was miserable. That was inspired by Ali.
Yes.
I don't think I'd do a juice fast again, but I'm always keen to try something new.
Let's be honest, you didn't do it the first time. You only did it a couple of days in.
36 hours in and I was done.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have begun the Pit Tox. Armpit detox. I kicked this off. I've been doing this for a couple of weeks and only now have the rest of the team decided they will delight me by trying the experiment as well.
I'm two hours in. I didn't put on deodorant this morning and I used the special bentonite clay.
Yeah, bentonite clay.
And just put on the aluminium-free deodorant.
Good job, because the bentonite clay draws out toxins. You rinse that off. Then you do the paste. I was using my paste when we were in the Philippines. That's 90% humidity and I was still okay.
So how'd your pits hold up?
Pits were good. Pits were dry. Pits didn't smell.
I sat next to you on a couple of car rides. I didn't get any odour. You smelled good.
Hello, Shelley. Good morning. What was the health kick that you gave a go?
So I tried this vegetable detox. So you had to cook all these vegetables and boil them down. I just remember mainly the beetroot because it was red. And then you had to put it through a sieve. And so I chucked out the juice and I kept the pulp and I tried to eat this toffee stodgy stuff for quite a few days, and I went back to my dietitian and I was like, this detox is the worst thing, it's disgusting. And she was like, no, you were supposed to throw out the pulp and drink the liquid.
Juices are a little bit more able to be sort of easy to stomach, I would think.
I just need some crunch in my life.
1-300-40-2020. Linda, good morning. You've got an armpit suggestion for us, do you?
I do lime, as in the fruit.
Oh, like squirt a little bit underneath.
So, yeah, do you cut it in half and squeeze it into your pits? Is that what you do?
You don't need to do that much. You just rub it. You don't need to squeeze it. You just cut it and then rub it on each armpit. Maybe for men, they might need to squeeze it because of the hair.
Would you then put a cup underneath your arms and then squeeze the excess juice into a cup so you could have it for a delicious, refreshing drink?
Actually, my family joked to me saying, oh, make sure you mark the lime that you use just in case someone uses it in a beer or something.
Definitely needs to be done, Linda. Glenn joins us. What health kick did you give a go?
I gave up the white death or the sugar.
So why did you give up sugar, mate?
So initially it was to drop some weight, and I dropped about 11 kilos, which is good.
Yeah, well done.
But just the amount of crap that I was eating, and I hadn't realised the biscuits and cakes and, coffee and chocolates and the amount of sugar. I watched the sugar movie and that changed my whole thinking about sugar. So,
are you still eating no sugar now? Have you maintained the trend?
Yeah, limited. So I did come back. I did put on a couple more kilos, but I just got so much more energy and it's just fantastic. Like, I'm 58, so I'm a bit older than you guys, but you don't realise what you're eating until you look at the pack and see how much is in there. And then you do a bit of an inventory and go, you know what, that's way too much for my system. And it is. And I want my body to be a temple to Jesus, not to Buddha.
Yeah, well, exactly right.
That's good, man.
Exactly right, Glenn. Good on you. And Duncan, I think you need to lean into what Glenn is saying there, because your donut habit, it may come back to bite you when you were 58.
I have not seen the movie, but I assume anything that has a hole in the centre of it is sugar-free.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan.
On Hope 103.2. Yesterday on the show, we revealed to you the terrible news that green frogs are coming back on shelves.
Seriously?
And it seems like there are green frog lovers in our midst, though.
Yeah.
Green frogs, they don't deserve the place.
They don't.
On our shelves. What do you think should go back in their place? Good morning, John. Are you defending the green frog?
Well, who wouldn't?
What? How do you like green frogs?
look, they're just fantastic. I mean, they're just basically sugar flavour, but you can imagine they're like a lime flavour.
But why, John, why are you going to waste time on a green frog when you can have a red one? This is the thing.
That's it.
That has always been part of the key debate.
I love you, John, but I'm sorry, I'm going to have to strongly disagree.
At least there's not going to be a long line for John to fight for when he goes to buy them at the supermarket.
You can have as many as you want, babe. That's really the thing, isn't it? I mean, John, I love you, but this is a terrible decision, and Nestle could have bought back the Milo bar.
Well, we're taking it straight to the top of the chain this morning because joining us from Nestle is one of their marketing gurus, Margaret Stewart. Good morning to you, Margaret.
Good morning.
We have a little bit of a bone to pick with you, okay? We have seen that green frogs have been brought back on shelves. Was there really any demand to see these return?
Yes, there has. Ever since we took them off the shelf, we've had a steady flow of consumers contacting us saying, bring back the green frog. And then last year, we had the green frog at our lolly bar in Sydney, and we sold out of all our stocks in only 3 days.
Margaret,
so time for the frog to hop back.
Well, you know what? I mean, you're making a great push for the green frogs to come back, but you're telling me that there hasn't been a voice to see the return of the original Milo bar?
You know, there's always those people that love the original Milo bar, and many of us have fond memories of it, but I'm sorry to say we're just not going to be bringing that one back again. We don't even have the equipment to make it anymore.
What does it take to bring a bar back? How could we convince you?
Oh, a significant investment in our factory. No, look, we won't be bringing that one back. We've got our other Milo bars. But for a product that's often eaten by kids, it's just really not the right product anymore. So I'm sorry, the Milo bar won't be coming back. But enjoy your green frog.
Margaret, I do have one final pitch for you. I envisage a product that is your Toll House cookie doughs smothered in chocolate and then in ice cream. We're going to call it Toll House cookie dough ice cream. Is there any chance of this getting off the market?
I don't see that one coming anytime real soon, sorry.
Unbelievable.
That's like diabetes, one spoonful at a time. Margaret, thank you very much for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Margaret, playing hardball, I see. Throw away the machines for the Milo bar.
Look, you tried, but 1-300-40-2020, Sydney, I guess we have to admit defeat and recognise that there are people who love the green frog. If it is you, we do have a special little prize pack from Allens for you that's got the green frogs, and it's also got the family frog packet, so you've got your orange and red ones in there too.
It would appear that Margaret has bought us a peace offering of green frogs. I imagine that her name would be something Wonka, but no, it's not. It's just called Margaret. That's her name.
Margaret Stewart, 1-300-40-2020. Morning, Helen. Why do you think green frogs should have that place on the shelf?
Hi, Laura. Hi, Duncan. Look, I have loved green frogs all my life. And every Saturday at netball, we used to get them. And then when my daughter played netball, we got them too. And it's just so disappointing now when you go to the shops and you can't buy them anymore.
Helen, I imagine that you probably also reach for all brand cereal because of its flavour, right?
Look, Helen, it sounds like you've got some deeply ingrained poor decision-making as part of your genetic code. So we're going to give you the Allens prize pack. Congratulations.
You've got a bunch of green frogs. Enjoy them.
Thank you, Duncan. I love
your
strategy. Thank you.
Thank you. No worries at all. 1-300-40-2020. Leah, why do you think the green frogs deserve to be back?
Red frogs are an icon at a baseball match, but green frogs for those kids who can't have red food colouring would be good as well. And it's a bit of an Aussie colour. It's an icon for Australian kids.
Oh, yeah. Leah, you do make some good points.
Good points. You can have one of the packs as well.
Thank you.
No worries at all. Gosh, people are kind of smart.
She played the Australian card.
Yeah, 1-300-40-2020. Our patriotism is being challenged this morning. Hello, Jaden.
Hello.
Why do you think green frogs should be back on shelves?
I really feel like kids my age should try some.
So, Jaden, what are you, like 93 years old? Because that's pretty much who green frogs are for.
No, I'm 12.
What? Jaden, you're up for trying something new. Congratulations. You can have a pack of Allen's green lollies, and there's a family pack in there too.
Okay, thank you.
Hope Breakfast
with Laura and Duncan.
When have you misunderstood the instructions? 1-300-40-2020. One of our very own, Shelley Hopelander, she misunderstood some instructions. Hello, Shelley. Good morning. What was the health kick that you gave a go?
So I tried this vegetable detox. So you had to cook all these vegetables and boil them down. I just remember mainly the beetroot because it was red. And then you had to put it through a sieve. And so I chucked out the juice and I kept the pulp and I tried to eat this toffee stodgy stuff for quite a few days. And I went back to my dietitian and I was like, this detox is the worst thing. It's disgusting. And she was like, no, you were supposed to throw out the pulp and drink the liquid.
I don't know about that. My goodness. Oh, how? But it's fair enough, though. Like,
yeah.
A part of me goes, I don't understand how Shelley ate the pulp and not the juice. But then I get it. Like, we sometimes don't totally understand instructions.
It happens sometimes, doesn't it? When have you misunderstood the instructions? 1-300-40-2020, or you can jump on the text line 0448-40-2020.
Good morning, Leanne. What was the instructions that you got wrong?
Oh, hi. When I was newly married, we bought a frozen pizza for dinner.
Yeah.
And I read and reread the instructions. I'm sure that it said, for a crispier crust, cook with the plastic on. So I popped the pizza in the oven and it was smelling really good. But then all of a sudden it smelled really, really bad.
Maybe it was, if you'd like to poison your husband, include the plastic on top.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It was so bad.
Thanks, Leanne. At least it would be hubby's cooking night more often than not, I would assume.
Yeah, I guess so. On the text line, someone just texted in, as a teacher of a community college library course, I assigned a student the task of compiling a bibliography of books for high school students on the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
Seems like a pretty simple instruction.
Yes.
Half the bibliography contained books on midlife crisis, empty nesters, and menopause.
Still a useful read.
Got home yesterday at 12 o'clock, okay? And as I'm walking up the driveway, my wife is looking very cranky and she has a bottle of something and is wiping down the car. And she's like, have you checked Facebook? Have you seen what your son does? And I was like, no. Sure enough, my son has drawn with Sharpie marker all over and down one side of the car.
No.
Why? Because he was just waiting for mum to come down to the car.
So he just was using his markers while he was standing there?
Just needed some time to fill in. Decided to graffiti the side of our car.
I'm really curious. What did he draw?
Just squiggles. Just squiggled all along the side of the car.
You don't seem very impressed at all.
I absolutely adore my son. Yeah. He is full of energy and life, but occasionally something goes wrong in his brain and he has a mind explosion.
Was Carly able to get the marker off?
Yeah, well, we YouTubed some clips on how to do it and we figured it out.
You should have got Max involved in the cleanup because he created the mess.
Well, so we did suggest come on down and help, and he had a complete Barney about that and screamed and ranted and raved about it.
Oh, fight not worth having.
I told him if he does it again, I'm drawing on his Matchbox cars. And apparently he got the message when I suggested that.
1-300-40-2020 or text 0448-40-2020. What is it that your kids have drawn on? Morning, Belinda. What did your son draw on?
The day my husband said someone has keyed your car, I said, let's look at it. And he had written his name in a garden tool on every panel of my car.
No! How old was your son when he did it?
It was before he was four.
Wow.
I was so proud of him.
What?
So angry at once.
Why were you proud of him?
Because he could spell his name.
Just need to let him know where it's okay to write it.
So I love you, son. I'm so angry right now. I don't know what to feel.
1-300-40-2020 or text 0448-40-2020. What did your kid draw on? Good morning, Kevin. What did your son do?
Hi, guys. It was my son and the son of one of our friends. We'd had a late night, so we had a sleep in, and we woke up in the morning to drawings all on the wall, all the way down the stairs, as high as they could reach, as low as they could go, in permanent marker.
Oh, no. So what did you do?
I couldn't handle it. I went out for the day and I had to take a breather from it. My wife and the mother of the other son, of the other boy, they scrubbed all day long. They did a good job. They got it all off. I don't know how, but Yeah, I couldn't handle it.
Good on you, Kevin, goodness. Though. Sometimes it pays to admit, look, I cannot handle this. I'm going to leave the situation or something will not go well for anyone.
I feel like this is cathartic right now. This is what it sounds like when doves cry, parents coming together.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan.
On Hope 103.2.
You get your nickname? 1-300-40-2020 or text 0-448-40-2020. As you know, your brekkie team were in the Philippines last week, and when you're travelling with people for a week, you get to know each other a little bit better.
Well, and there was 20 of us, so we knew everyone on the team.
And Ali, producer Ali, that is the name by which we know her.
We've only ever known her by one name.
There were leaders in the team, the mums of the group, who started to call out for this Alex.
Who is Alex?
Who is Alex? Ali started to answer to this Alex name.
What?
We realise on her passport her name is Alexandra, which is just not okay by us. We then discover that Alex is the nickname she had tried to cement for herself before we all chose to call her Ali. And at one point she was going down the Andy line, like Alexandra Andy.
No!
1-300-40-2020. How did you get your nickname?
I always think that a nickname needs to be given to you. I remove Alex from Ali and she is back as Ali.
Yes.
I got the nickname at school because in high school I wore knee-high socks when I was playing basketball. There's a sight for sore eyes.
I thought you were only meant to wear that when you were playing soccer.
No, I love knee-high socks. And so I got the nickname while I was at school, Socks, which stuck forever. And now at the gym, my new nickname is Pastor D.
Pastor D's all right. What about Dunk?
Listen, I'm not a big fan of Dunk, but I have occasionally been called it.
How did you get your nickname? Good morning, Jen. What was the nickname you got given?
Hi. Well, my sister and I both were given some kind of awkward nicknames. So when I was born, even though we're Anglo-Saxon family, I looked like I was Chinese. I had very black hair and a bit of jaundice and all of that. And my parents decided to nickname me after a character in a TV show they were watching who was Chinese called Ching. And so my nickname became Chingy. And then my sister, when she was born, was really tiny. And they wanted to name her after a little mouse from a Beatrix Potter book. And instead of naming her after the mouse, they named her after the hedgehog. And so her whole life, she was named after this hedgehog. But the name stuck and they couldn't change it. And even to this day, we're like 40 and 41 years old. And we are still called, she's called Wiggs, I'm called Cheney.
Thoughts.
So comes the moment in our show when we pontificate and ruminate about thoughtful thoughts.
Because by Thursday you've started to have some good thoughts. What's on your mind this week?
Allow me to plumb the milky depths of my cerebellum and bring you this nugget.
Okay.
If self-driving cars become a huge industry, ice cream trucks will be mobile vending machines.
Ooh, they'd be my favourite ones. Oh, who would turn the music on, though?
Well, it's all automated, I would guess.
Wow. How's this for a thoughtful thought?
Yeah.
Our fine nation of Australia.
Yes.
If you write out Australia, you'll notice that there's three A's.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that you have to pronounce each of those A's differently? Australia. So if you wanted to do it the same.
Australia.
Yeah, the English.
Ross, the Ross.
The English language is a strange beast, isn't it?
Indeed.
Thoughtful thoughts.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan.
On Hope 103.2.
I didn't think anyone still went to time zone. I thought intensity and all of those kind of things were gone. They were things of yesteryear that you
totally
collected tickets for and were really sad about because you never got enough tickets to get the good prizes.
You would take a would-be potential girlfriend there and then show her your athletic prowess. On the whack-a-mole.
And then give her a giant teddy bear that she does nothing with. But producer Ali, good morning.
Good morning.
You are bringing back time zone because you've made this a date night experience.
Oh, yeah. My husband and I have become obsessed recently. We go and instead of spending money going out for dinner, we have, you know, boiled rice and soy sauce at home and spend the money at time zone. It's bringing back all these horrible memories because I used to love time zone and I had this collection of tickets that I was so excited about getting an actual good prize off the unachievable wall. And then it closed and they replaced it with intensity and my tickets were invalid and
did you save your tickets?
Yeah, but I threw them out now, and now Time Zone is back at my local shopping center, and I'm up to 550.
Okay.
But, like, you know, Monopoly is 4,500, so it's a little way to go.
550, just to get Monopoly, 4,500.
I know.
What can you get for 550?
You can get, like, Skittles and Fizzes. I'm looking at the basketball, which is 1,500 tickets.
I'm sure you could get a little bouncy ball. Those used to be pretty cheap.
I want the good prize.
I would argue that a great date night for two exhausted parents would be to drop the children off with grandma.
Yeah.
Okay. And then that night, as we've got the entire house to ourselves, we retire to the bedroom.
Oh, yes.
And then in that moment, as we're in the bedroom, we go to sleep for a full 8 hours, and then have breakfast in the morning about 8 o'clock.
1-300-40-2020. Danielle, hello. What is your chosen date night activity?
Well, funnily enough, I'm nearly 40, and our chosen date night is dinner followed by Time Zone followed by a movie.
Wow. Okay, so what games are you playing at Time Zone?
We love the basketball shoot, and we love Lara Croft Tomb Raider.
How did Time Zone get to feature in date night?
I think because we've always gone there from the beginning, it's reminiscent of when we first started dating.
Aww.
So, and it's something fun to do to kill time in between dinner and the movie.
I like your tactic. Thank you, Danielle.
Memories.
1-300-40-2020. What is it that you do for date night?
Wendy's texted in and said, my hubby and I enjoy progressive dinners. Oh. So entree is at one place, main is at another, and then dessert is usually gelato because we're pretty full.
I did that one time for youth group, actually. We did, but we went to different people's houses. So different people's youth group, like members of the youth group. It's great to know that that can also translate into a date night opportunity.
Yeah.
1-300-40-2020. Hello, Glennis. What do you do?
Comedy shows.
Comedy shows.
Yeah, nothing beats a good night of good laughs.
And do you have a favourite club that you like to go to?
We always go to the Comedy Store, the Comedy Festival.
That
sounds like fun. And I think, too, it's a little bit more, like, interactive than your typical movie night, I guess.
I get the key for comedy clubs is don't sit at the front because you're going to get heckled.
In the week, we did get on a particular health bandwagon. I already was on this one, okay?
Yes.
The pit tox.
You led the charge.
Yes, detoxing your armpits because they're a processing factory for all the toxins, germs in our body, all the lymph nodes do their thing. So you put bentonite clay on your armpits for 15 minutes before you shower, leaches out all the toxins. Then you start using an aluminium-free deodorant paste, all these oils.
Yep.
You've got options, but basically something with no chemical nasties in it so that your body starts to be clean on the inside.
What I thought was unfair was that you're not a particularly smelly human. Like, you actually smell good every time that I've hung out with you.
Thank you.
So I don't think you're a fair baseline. Whereas I get on the nose at the end of the day, and I have been using a lot of those aluminium-based deodorants.
Yes.
Now, it's been 3 days. Ali and I are both doing the pit detox.
Yeah, good on you guys.
I clayed up last night again, and I've used the scent, you know, the aluminium-free deodorant.
Yep.
I've invited Ali in. We're about to take our relationship to a whole new level because I need you to have just the briefest whiff of my armpit.
Ooh, you ready?
These are boundaries that I don't want to cross.
In you go.
Go in.
Oh, she's actually quite close. That was a good 2 inches away from Duncan's armpit. You're brave.
How was it?
I don't have much sense of smell, but there was something coming through there.
Ooh, was it rough smelling or kind of sweet?
It's actually pretty good. That wasn't...
Are we calling pit tox a success?
Well, here's the thing, kind of, because one of the things that I don't know, Ali, if you had an issue with this, but for me, it's a lot more moist in that zone because, like, I don't feel like it's antiperspirant. Like, I'm still sweating, but it's not stinky sweat.
Well, one problem solved at a time, guys.
My biggest issue was you got to leave the clay on for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And you got to leave your arms up, and so I just get horizontal. And when you're doing breakfast radio, being horizontal, I keep falling asleep with the clay on, and I forget to go wash it up until the morning.
The week's best bits. Laura and Duncan's Hope Breakfast Podcast.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with life words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.